The second word, a lot of good Gemara tonight. The second word, third word on the page. Tanya. Say locate l'cha esrim ta'anim. Go and gather for yourself 20 figs. Okay? The Mishali. Reuven says to Shimon, you go, Shimon. Oh, you don't like names. Oh, you don't mind names? Okay. Reuven, go and take from Shimon. You go and take, Reuven says to Shimon, go and take 20 figs of mine. Vanima mali crazy mishacha. And I'm gonna go and I'm gonna fill my stomach from your figs. Now, although this might not be such a great deal on Shimon's part, that's not what we're talking about. We're going to talk about it here from the aspect of Trumas and Maisers, not about the Yosher aspect here. So, oh, we just started. Come. Tell me in the office. It's office. She happens to be there. We might have to offer her a quarter, but there's a top one. Okay. Tanya, say locate l'cha esrim ta'anim mishali. Go and gather. You gather 20 figs of mine. Vanimale kresi mishalcha, and I will fill my stomach of from your stuff. Now, again, why we're bringing this down here is not for the yeshur, but for the trumas aspect. Hamamale kreso, the guy who gets to eat as many as he wants, potter, he's exempt from trumas and maisers because he's not eating in a way which indicates that there was a purchase on his part. So therefore, there is no kvius of a purchase. Va'ocha b'minyan, the guy who gets exactly 20, though, the count is as if he purchased them. It's as if he was sold 20. And therefore, since minion is koved rabbanon, he's chayim and trumas umaisris. So, right. Exactly right. Ultimately, the Gemara is going to fall off of this. That's Gemara's havamina. That the exact count makes it into a transaction for that person, but not for the other person. Okay? Rabbi Bun Bar Chia boy kumi Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Bun Bar Chia atzvar Rabbi Zira. Vein adam oichel achas. Achas, doesn't a person eat one by one birshusa kol in a public domain? The public domain is lav dafka, but it means not in his own house, but somewhere else. Upotter, and he is exempt. Amrlo, so they said in, yes. So they said, v'hochalamu chayev. So that's the case here. Why is the guy who's eating 20 chayev? Let him eat them one by one. What's the difference? He gets 20 altogether. The bottom line is that he eats them one by one as snacking. So why is he chayv? Amar lo, so they said mitzarif. So they said to him, no, it's not about a case where he gathers all 20 together. So he makes a pile of 20. Oh, he makes a pile of 20. That's like a mini miruach kind of thing. It's almost like making a miruach. So says Rabbi Mitzarev. Wait a minute. If it's the issue is that he made a pile, I feel by Mali Kreisel Yechayev. Even the guy who didn't get a number, he just says he's going to eat as much as he wants. He also makes a pile Yechayev. Veino also Mishum Chalivin. There shouldn't be any answer whatsoever here because of a purchase. Why should purchase come into account at all? Chalivin literally means barter, but here means purchase. Where's the purchase? So the truth is, Rabbi Shammai said, "Ain lo chalifin. There is no purchase here." So he's kaven. He says, "El lahagis libo sheyochal." If I, the cases like this, Mrs. Hooker, the more you renege on what I said previously, then but cases like this, I said, you take 20 of my figs, and I'll take as many as I want of your figs. So at first, we understood that since I allotted to you 20. So that by you it's like a purchase, and you can no longer eat it without meisering it, even as a snack. Because we said midrabanan, purchase makes something kavua lagabi meiseris. But I get to eat as much as I, since I get to eat as much as I want. So there's no purchase on my part. So I can continue to eat as if I'm snacking without taking too much of meiseris. Now the Gemara fell off of that. Gemara says it makes no difference. It depends how you eat it. Depends how you eat it. Not how many you're allotted or whether there's a quota or not. But if I eat them one by one, so then it's snacking. If I make a pile, it's not snacking. And the fact that I gave a number, you gave a number, it doesn't make a difference, okay? That's what Rabbi Shammai says. I'm Rabbi Shavin, ain't lo chalif, and it's not necessary to be a purchase. So he's gavin ishazeh. When I said, take 20, I didn't intend a log, it's a sliba shiochal, only to make you confident so that you should allow me to eat in turn. So therefore, it wasn't really a purchase, it was just a shmuzerai. Okay?
Yeah, conversation, right? Shmuz.
All right, Tanya, or Tani you have probably. You have Tani? Tzelukot? Okay. Tzelukot, l'chasri mitaini mishali. Reuven says, Shem, take 20 of my figs. Ochel gedako v'potter. So the guy, even though he has a quota, he's still exempt. He can still snack. It's not considered to be a purchase. So we see Taka, the Bryson conclusion says that allotments do not make a difference. Okay? However, tseyum alei, but this is a continuation of the Bryson. Tseyum alei al kalkole. I say to you, go out and fill a basket. Lo yochal ad shi'aser. You can't eat until you're miser. Why? Because baskets are mini miruachs. They're mini piles. So therefore, in that case, you can't eat until you're miser. Ba'med for amurim. This is all continuation of the price. So when is this true? Ba'amoritz. If the guy who gives it to me, the guy who says, go out and collect the basket, is not moritz. Ava b'chover. But what happens if the guy who said, go out and collect the basket, is a tamid chacham? Eichel. Then I, the person who's going out and collecting the basket, can continue to, can eat, vein etzor chleiser, and I don't have to take off meiser. Divrei Rebbe, coin to Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Arshin Om Leomer? No. Bamed vorem murim ben pa'amoretz? Not true. Ba'amoretz? If the amoretz tells me to go and take a basket, so then I have to take off trumas and meisers, but only as the mai. Because maybe the amoretz took off trumas and meisers himself, before I collected my basketful. Aba b'chaver? But if a Talmud Chacham tells me to go out and collect the basketful, misaknon vadai, I, the person who's going out collecting the basket, must definitely go and rectify the fruit in the basket. I have to assume that it's not rectified at all. Why is that? Shalom nechshdu chaveim litrum shalom in amukav. Because chaveirim, Talmud Chachamim, they do not separate Shumas and Maisis unless both the substance being tithe and the food being removed as the tithe are in the same location. So therefore, if a Talmud Chacham says, go out and eat in my field and make a basketful, a Gersha Gamliel, he has no wherewithal. He would never take Trumas and Maisis off that because he's at home and I'm out in his field and Shalom in Amukov. Then the substance being tithe and the tithing food are not in the same location. So he would not take Trumas and Maisis off in that way. And Amoritz might. That's if an Amoritz tells me to go out and collect in the field. So when I do go and collect, and I do take off Trumas and Maisis, it's demai. It's a question. But a Chatam Chacham never would. So therefore, if I go out to the field and collect, and I have to take off Trumas and Maisis, it's as vadai. It's definitely assumed that no Trumas and Maisis are taken off. Omar Rebbe said, Roy ani es devorai midivri abba. I like my pshat better than Tati's pshat. Rosh Gamliel was his father. Why is that? Mutav sheitrumu shalom in amukav. It's better. A Talmud Chacham is faced with two alternatives, neither of which is pleasant. One of them is to take trumas and maisers of stuff which is not in the same place as the stuff which he's using in order to take up trumas and maisers. But the other alternative is that the guy out in the field is going to eat tevel. Is going to eat stuff which is not tithe, right? So which alternative is better? It's better to sin the minor sin of taking Trumas and Maaser Shalom in Amukov than to sin the major sin of letting the Amoritz eat Tevel. And this, in fact, is a Bavli as well. The Bavli also brings this down. Okay? Uroani is from Divi Rebbe, Divi Rabbi Bavli and Erevin. Mutav Shitimu Shalom in Amukov, Lolachil Amoritz Tevel. Better that the person should take off Trumas u'Maisros, even though they're not in the same location, than that the person on the field should collect and eat Tevel. What? Yeah, of course only the Rabban, right. Amar Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Zira said, Mi divrei shneim, according to both of them, Afilu chaver shesholach l'chaver tzorech l'aiser. If Reuven sending Shimon grain, this is a different case. Reuven sent Shimon grain to eat. Reuven is a Talmud Chacham. Shimon is a Talmud Chacham. Reuven still has to take off Trumas and Maisros. Reuven, the sender, has to take off from the stuff he's sending Shimon, Trumas and Maisros. Why is that? Why should he have to take it off? Because the chaver, before he sends it out, Reuven, before he sends it out, he's got all the stuff at all, right? It's all in the same location. You're not supposed to send the fruit before you're misaking it. Here he has the opportunity, he's sending that food out, and it's all in the same location, that he should take the Trumas and Maisros, Mina Mukov, from everything together at once. Lili Mina Mukov means from stuff which is bundled together, so he has to send it to take off before he sends it off. Okay? Now, Havim Boy Bnei, Havim Boy Meimar, the people in the yeshiva, they wanted to say perhaps a little bit the dichotomy here. There's a little bit of distinction. Mada Mashalon Yeshuch Nech Shadu Chavim Litchom Shalom in Amukov. According to the opinion who holds, that's Rabbi Shigam Leo, that people never take chaverim, tamil chomim, never take of trumas maizes unless the food, which is being tight, and the trumas maizes in the same location, v'zeh chaver hu, and the individual who's receiving the gift is a chaver, is a tamil chacham, tzarech hu laser. Did you lose me? I'm a chesmer out now, right? He now has to he has to be meiser, the recipient. It's a little bit tricky that this is talking about again. One chaver sends to another chaver, so what? Yeah, right. He argues in the previous Gemara. Because why is that? Because maybe it's not exactly an argument. It's not a head-on confrontation. Rabbi Zira says that the giver, if I send you, I'm a Talmid Chacham, and I send you a Talmid Chacham. So Rabbi Zira said I have to take it off before I send you. The Bnei Yeshiva are arguing that, but not directly. They're saying, granted, the sender's got to take it off, but the recipient has to be afraid that maybe the sender didn't. Even if we're both Talmidei Chachamim. Why is that? Because maybe Tak at the time it was sent, it wasn't Mina Mukov. Maybe I or mail ordered you food from Washington. I sent you Washington apples when I was sitting in Chicago, right? So therefore, maybe it was Shalom Mina Mukov. So although the sender is supposed to take off, the recipient has to be afraid maybe he didn't take off. And therefore, the recipient has the mitzvah as well. Again, even where both people on both sides of the equation are Talmidei Chachamim. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, so both sides have to be machmir on this. Okay? So they don't have to like it, you just have to understand it. Umatam armutav hu sheitim hu shalom in amukav v'lo la'achil amerot tvarim. What about the person who says, what about Rebbe, who says that it's better that the chover should take off trumas and maizes from when they're in two separate locations and he shouldn't have to give an amoritz tevel? Right? In other words, it's better to transgress the light of air that Amoritz should not eat tevil. The truth is, that's good. That's true when you're sending to an Amoritz. But he also agrees. Where a chaver sends to a chaver, so maybe the chaver who receives, you the recipient, not to be afraid, that I, the chaver who sent you food which is not in my possession at the time. So therefore, in this issue, there's not going to be a machlokas. When one chaver sends to another chaver, the sender has got to take off. The recipient also has to take off because he has to be afraid that the sender didn't do it. That's what it's saying here. Both Rebbe and Shigam Leo agree in this case. The only case in which they have a machlokis is when a chaver sends to an amoritz. So according to Shigam Leo, when a chaver sends to an amoritz, he still cannot be Torim Shalom in Amukov. Can't do it. He can't take off Trumas and Maizes here on fruit which he's sending from Washington State. According to Rebbe, he can. In that case, the chaver can't take off Yid Shalom and Amukov in order to save the Amoritz from eating tevil. But where one chaver sends another chaver, there's no practical difference, and that's what he's saying here. Okay? Zeh chaver, the recipient, Tzarech Ulaiser, he has to be Meiser. Again, in this case, both according to Rebbe and according to Shigam Leo, there's no practical difference. Both the sender and the recipient have to Meiser. Rabbi Yona boy. Rabbi Yona asked, in the Brisa it said, the beginning of the Brisa said, that he can send them out with a basket, you send out a guy with a basket. You say, go collect figs. So it sounds like you can rely on him to take off his own trumas and maizes. So he must be a chaver. Then the end of the Brisa discusses, whether you can take off, whether you at home can take off trumas and maizes and hand him out the field. So which one is he? The Brisa seems to be an inherent contradiction. Not a major contradiction. But it sounds to me in the Brisa like we're dealing with Talmid Chacham. We're sending out the basket and say, go pick. And the end of the Brisa was saying, maybe it's not, that he's not a Talmid Chacham. That's sort of discussing how we could be masaking him by meistering on him from a remote distance. So says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Kan v'kambo Amoritz. We're talking about an Amoritz. The Brisa is consistent. It's an Amoritz across the board. Al b'shvil echot shumasakin unikra chaver. However, so there are those who are masakin, and those are the ones you can trust to give them a basket. Okay, so it doesn't mean that the price is divided in two. One half talking about chover and another about namorot. It's all talking about namorot. Some amorotim you can trust, some of them you can't trust. Okay, it's a funny question which the Gemara is asking. Let's just gloss over that. Let's go further. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rav Sheshes. You have the two dots there? Do you have the two dots there? You have just go straight to Rabbi Yossi? Okay, it's a new issue. Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rav Sheshes. And Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yossi, B'shem, Rabbi Abin, both said, Omil Chaveiro. It's a very interesting kalach here. I say to my friend, Hareini Meiser Yotcha. I'm Meiser for you. Ein Tzorach L'Amarimo. I say to you, I'll Meiser your crop for you. You can trust me. You don't have to go and stand with me on the field. You trust me. Ask the Gemara Kasha, contradiction. Tamotzin, and over there it says, M'sech Te'elvin. I send my Erev Tchumen. So where does it have to be? Where does it have to be put on Erev Shabbos? Erev Tchumen, where does that be put? 1,000 amos outside the city, right? I send my Erev Tchumen in the hands of a Cheres Shoyte Kotan. It's an imbecile, deaf mute, an imbecile, or a child. Or somebody who doesn't admit to the whole Allah of Erev. Ain't no Erev. It's not valid. If I said, however, to somebody else, you know what? Yanko the imbecile, you don't have this, do you? Because it's a continuation of the brisa there. Okay? It says there, it's critical that you know this. Because it's like the Ushami very often bringing a raya from the end of the statement over there. It says there, if you told somebody else, go and receive it from him. In other words, make sure Yankel the Kotan or Yankel the Cheresh brings it. So it says there that that's okay. Okay, you can assume that it could happen all right. Says one, no. But I'm Rabbi Lazar. But Lazar says this you have, right? But Tzorach L'Amarimo. In that case, there you have to check up on it. You have to go out and make sure that it was done properly. Even though you told somebody. So now there's a contradiction. Here, somebody comes to you and says, I'll take care of your meister for you. You can trust him. You don't have to check up on him. There, if you tell somebody, go make sure that my Erev is done properly, you have to check up on him. No, you told somebody else, make sure the cotton does it properly. You still have to check up on him. So well, what's the difference? So says Zemara, Om Rabbi Chia Barad, Kam Begodo, Kam Bekotten. Very basic difference. There, it's talking about where there, since there was a child involved, in other words, the guy who was taking the Eruv was either Cheir Shoyt of a cotton, so you have to have extra precautions. And even though you told somebody to make sure it's done properly, you gotta double check it. So a simple thing. There, since there was a cotton involved, you have to double check. Here, everything is a godel. Says that's one answer. Rabbi Chanina b'shem Rabbi Chananya b'shem Rabbi Chanina says, "Afilu temer kan v'kan begodel." It's a great answer. I think you don't have most of the answer in your words, I think. But here it's a very clear, very interesting. Kamakamakotan. Both by Meister and by Erev Tzolei about an adult. Or Kamakamakotan. Or maybe both by Meister and by Erev Tzolei about a child. A child, of course, by Meister, he has to be old enough to do what? To take up Trumas Meister, which is how old? How old do you have to be in order to take up Trumas Meister? Give you a hint, it's like a netter.
But in the last case, it's only...
How old?
You're
to take a nether.
Boo, boo, boo. Oh, boy, guys.
For a boy, 12. For a girl, 11. Mufla samuch le'ish. Yeah, comes back, right? So, says the Gemara... Tamad, but Oimer lo, so it says somewhere, it could be talking about God on both cases, or caught in both cases. Tamad, but Oimer lo, over there, it's where you say to him, I don't know if you have the next three words. Are val yodi. Do you have those words? What are the next words you have? Oh, this is completely different. Okay. Tama Boemelo Arev Al Yodi. I send the guy and say, do it for me. Here the guy says to me, I'll do it for you. Do you understand? Here I'm asking somebody in the case. Sorry. Right. When you initiated, you have to double check. By the Eruv case, I'm asking him to do it for me. You have to double check. In the case of the Meiser, he came to me and volunteered. Then I don't have to double check. So it all depends who initiates it. Okay? Our case learns from this case. And that case learns from our case. This case learns from that case. Where I say, I, the owner of the fruit, say to somebody else. Now here again, a change of gears from your gears. Aser al yodi, you be meister for me. In other words, I ask him to do it. So I got to check him out afterwards. In that case, learns from our case. Boy merlo. When the volunteer comes and says, again, change girsa, ani ma'arev al yodcha, that I'm going to do it for you. In other words, if somebody volunteers to take charge of your Eruv, she'eno tzarech la'amanimo, you don't have to check up on him, because the assumption is going to do it properly. Okay? So far, so good? Let's get back to the previous case. Tanya, went to the Rebbeinu. I say, go collect 20 dates from 20 figs of mine. Cases okay, are previously. You don't have it. You have it? Okay. So the guy can keep eating the figs in his potter. Right? Because there's no gathering. Say, Malayas al Coca-Cola, go and fill up a basket. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Omer ani, I say, should tzorech laharos lo es hakalkola. The gatherer has got to show the basket to the owner, not because of maestros, but because of choshen mishpat. Because of choshen mishpat, monetary issues. He might take too many. Whereas a basket is a relative thing, right? I said fill up a basket, but that could mean this much, that could mean that much. So therefore, because of monetary issues, he's got to show the basket to the balabas. Generically, however, what's the measure of basket? Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman Marina said, stam kalkola, generic basket, Ram Chesman Bays now at the top. Shall our boss copy? Shall our boss copy? It's four kav. Uktana, small basket. Shlosha kav. Ugdola, three, big basket. Saw, which is six kav. Okay, so it's four, three, and six. Tani, we learned gedola and b'chusam isaw. A large basket is no less than six. Beinonis, a middle basket, and a b'chusam itar kav. It's no less than three. You don't have any of this? What's the next words you have? Okay, I'm getting there. Ketana, a small basket, and because of the kabayim, it's no less than two. The Brisa said the exact same thing as the previous Gemara. They're just repeating it as a Brisa, opposed to a statement of an Amora. Rabbi Yonah asked, concerning this Brisa, which I just read to you, when Meiser sees Amos, is this in terms of Meiser? Only Mita said this is in terms of Choshen Mishpat, in terms of monetary issues. Now, here the Gemara says a very interesting thing. The given is, it's axiomatic that Meiser is more severe than the Choshen Mishpat. Because Meiser is a problem of Isser V'Hetzer, right? Choshen Mishpat is not Isser V'Hetzer. Basically, what it means is, I can be Moichel to you. If it's Choshen Mishpat, it's a monetary issue, we can be Moichel. So it doesn't have to be so exact. But if it's a matter of Meiser, it's got to be exact and precise. So it says more. What's it for? So, in Tamil Meisras, if you're going to say it's about Meisr, it's a Marta, Koshkel Misen. If you're saying the Meisr, this works, it certainly works for Koshkel Mishpat. Now, what does it mean for Meisr works? It means 5-10 baskets. I can assume that they're all uniform. I can just take one of them and say, let this be Meisr on the others. That would be for Meisras. That there's assumed uniformity in the share of the measure of the baskets. If it works for Meisr, then it certainly works for Choshen Mishpat. If, however, in Tamil Amidah Sadin, if for Choshen Mishpat, however, I assume that the baskets are all uniform, and therefore, in terms of buying and selling, we assume uniformity. That does not imply Olamaisa's law that that is true in terms of Meiser as well, because there might be more severe. Right? One has to do with norms of the marketplace. The other has to do with what is exact and precise. Rabbi Yossi Pshita Lei de la Meiser Si Sa Marta. Rabbi Yossi had it clear that it was stated vis-a-vis Meiser. The Koshkein Lamida Sadin is certainly true by Choshe Mishpat. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. Back to the first Mishnah in the Masechta. Now this Mishnah, this is full of Chidushim, what we're going to learn now. It's an amazing concept. Relativism. Only works in the Rabbanans, probably. Okay, Hoy Yeshim Bishar. Do you have that in the Mishnah? Third line down. We're all sitting in the gate of the city. Like Ephron sitting in the gate of the city, we're sitting by a store place, so a storefront, and now Moritz comes by. Varmi says to all of us, take for yourself figs. Hein oichlin, everybody else eats upater and exempt from chumus amaisus. They're snacking. However, Ubalachanus Chayov Ubalashar, the owner of the gate. I'm not sure how somebody owns the gate of the city, but the owner of the gate. Maybe it's the turnpike keeper. Ubal Chanus. And the owner of the store, they're chayiv and trumus amaisus. Why they're chayiv and trumus amaisus? Because for them it's a kfiyas. Why for them it's a kfiyas? Because it's like their house. So they own the gate, they own the store, for them it's kavua. That's not so amazing. The amazing thing is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda poiter achiyachsir's ponav. Rabbi Yehuda says, even the owner of the store or the gate is exempt. As long as he's a part of this chabura, there's a whole chabura of guys there, none of which have kliyas there because they don't own the gate or the store. According to Rabbi, as long as he's part of the chabura, he also can snack. The moment he turns his face, until he turns around, or changes the place where he's sitting, then he becomes chayiv, even though they remain exempt. So he can no longer snack. He can snack while he's with them. He can't snack once he leaves their company. Okay? Let's go back to the Gemara. You should have Hadar Mara right at the top of Testament Aleph now. Right at the top of Testament Aleph, you have it? Hadar Mara? Hadar Mara, this teaches us. Shebeso Tovel Lo Avalo Lachem. We can extrapolate from our Mishnah that if I bring food into my house, I'm no longer allowed to snack, but you are. You're a guest in my house. You can still snack. Because it's kfiyas for me, but it's not a kfiyas for you. It's relative. Everything is relative. There's relativism at work here. For me, it's kavua. For you, it's not kavua. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Poter v'chule. You don't have that header, do you? Am Rabbi Lezer, you got? Rabbi Lezer said, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemi amru davar echad. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemi both said the same thing. Now remember, Rabbi Yehuda said, the owner is exempt as long as he's sitting together with the other guys. You know, he's playing backgammon, sheshbesh with them. Right, so as long as he's doing that, he's exempt. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemi Amru Davar Echad. What did they say? Tznin, we learned over there, Taman. We learned over there, Rabbi Nechemi Kosha Ein Odom Bosh Milecho Besocha Chayeves. It's a very interesting thing here. Any time a person is not embarrassed to eat there, he's Chayev. Now what does that mean? I mean, we're talking about the good old days. People were polite, and polite is not the right word. They had very strict. They're Victorian. Victorian etiquette was very strong, so people wouldn't eat in the marketplace. So wasn't the shenazah? Wasn't a nice thing to eat in the marketplace. So therefore, people are as any place where you're embarrassed to eat, you can snack. Anywhere where you're not embarrassed to eat, it's considered to be a kfiyas. So things are very relative. Depending on where you are, you might be chayiv, you might be potter. Ad kedei kach, it's relative. Okay? So when you're embarrassed, you're exempt. When you're not embarrassed, you're chayiv. So he learns. Rabbi Lez learns, and Rabbi Yehuda Svara is similar. Rabbi Yehuda Svara is, when he's with the chabura, even though it's his store, he's not going to eat. Right, even though it's his store, because the guys in the chabura, they don't eat. Because they're embarrassed to eat. It's a public place. So when he's with them, He's still exempt. He's not going to snack. He's not going to snack. When he goes back into his store later on and changes plates, then he's no longer embarrassed. Why is he no longer embarrassed? Because it's his store. It's his place. So then he becomes chayiv. Okay? Okay? So it's very interesting. Halach. Amre. What? Yeah. We wouldn't need the street. Yeah. See, I think it's changed since you were a kid. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you were a kid in Victorian times. But all right. In the olden days. I'm Rabbi Yossi. You didn't even eat the pickles walking down Delancey Street. I'm Rabbi Yossi. When I was a kid, we used to walk down Delancey Street eating pickles. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, having on Sabri in Meymar, they wanted to say, I don't think you have the next 2 words. Ma plig, Rabbi Chevi Rabbonin. You do have those words? Ma plig? Okay, ma plig, Rabbi Chevi Rabbonin. Where do Rabbonin and Rabbi Nechemi argue? Where they argue in a courtyard where they're embarrassed to eat in the entire courtyard. The entire courtyard is a place where they're embarrassed to eat. There, there's a machlokas Rabban and Rabbi Nechemia. Okay, Rabban on hold that since they're embarrassed to eat in the entire courtyard, so therefore there's no such thing. There's no such thing as being chayiv and trumas and maisis there. However, I think I have the
everybody knew that they had only gone and sold their property because they needed
to buy. So let me read the next line, then you come back, because I'm not sure who holds what. Let me just read the next line. I went back in the courtyard where he's embarrassing the entire courtyard. What happens if part of the courtyard is kind of, you know, private and kind of is public? So part of it he's embarrassing, part of it he's not embarrassed to eat. Okay, now I have it. Rabbanon hold. I do with Busha. Busha's not a factor. If it's your courtyard, you're chayiv and trumas and maaseres. Makes no difference. Rabbi Chemi holds, it depends. If you're embarrassed to eat there, then we still exempt you from trumas and maaseres. You can still snack there. Okay? Says the Gemara, where does Rabbi Nechemi and where do Rabbi Nechemi and Rabban argue? By a courtyard where you're embarrassed the entire thing. So Rabban holds embarrassment is not a factor. Rabbi Nechemi holds embarrassment is a factor. Therefore, according to Rabban, you may no longer snack. According to Rabbi Nechemi, you are allowed to snack. What about a courtyard where half of it is secluded and you're not embarrassed, and half of it is not secluded and you are embarrassed? So in that case, the Gemara wants to say that there's no machlokas. Even Rabbi Nechemi agrees, since in part of the courtyard you're not embarrassed to eat, so you're not allowed to snack anymore. Your head to snack fell off. Okay? In a courtyard itself, as long as part of it is secluded, that courtyard is mechayev and trumas and maaseres, i.e. you're no longer is allowed to snack even according to Rabbi Nechemi. Okay, so says the Gemara. What? Yeah. Right. You don't have to own the whole thing. That's right. Ownership would probably be a factor in this as well. That's right. But it doesn't mean as long as you own a part of it, so by definition you're going to be chayiv and trumas and maaseres. Right. Mimadom, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yehuda, however, that was what they thought to say. But from that which Rabbi Lezer said, the Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechem, Shneim Armu Dover Echon, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechem both said the same thing. We see that even one courtyard can be divided in half. Why is that? Because Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah said, it depends where the Baal HaChanus is standing. If he's sitting with the Sheshpesh players, then he can still snack. If he moved into some other place in his store or in his gate, then he's no longer allowed to snack. So you see, even the same courtyard can be divided in two. So too, according to Rabbi Nechemia. Adam Arad, this teaches us, Malcolm Shu Bosh Patur, the place where he's embarrassed in the courtyard is exempt. Malcolm Shayna Bosh, the place where he's not embarrassed, Chayav, he's no, not exempt. He's Chayav, he no longer snacks. Okay? So far, so good? That's all one shot in Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it has to do with embarrassment. Like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chebir linked, has to do with embarrassment, has to do with etiquette, with manners, with embarrassment. Rabbi Yochanan says a different shot in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan said, L'divei Rabbi Yehuda, do you have that? Also, so they made him. Now the Achronim have a tremendous difficulty with this line. We're just going to learn like the Chaznish, which is the way the Kavanaki learns. Also, so ki yichur shunaita lechotzer. They made this balabas. Do you have that line? They made this balabas like the branch of a tree, which is standing primarily in a public domain, and a branch that extends over a private domain. So a branch which stands in a public domain. The trunk of the tree is parted from Trumas and Maestros. The part which extends over your yard is really should be exempt from Trumas and Maestros too.
Right? Why are you...
This is classic stuff.
Yeah. Right.
Really it should be exempt too. But they said, Mirabbanan, they said it's chayev, but if you snack, it's okay. Okay? Mirabbanan, they said it's chayev, but if you snack one by one, so they don't make them do my for Trumas and Maestros. Just if you... Taka made a pile of it, so then it looks like it's mamish yours. So really the tree is exempt, right? Mirabbanan, it's chayev if you eat a lot at once. But if you eat one by one, so it's okay. So too this Baal Pius. Really, they made him like he's this tree, like he's this branch of a tree. Really, he's... But the opposite. Really, he's chayev in Trumas and Maestros, right? But as long as he's hyper-extended into this group of people here, as long as among them, they say, let him be potter just like they're potter. Okay? So he's like a branch of... He's like the branch of a tree extending somewhere else. So too, he's right now extended to a different group. He gets a different parameter. Okay? Is that clear? If he moves. No, it's not embarrassment. Now according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not. Again, I probably didn't state it clearly enough. The tree. Really, it's potter. But the branch which extends into my yard, meter abundant, they made it a chayev. The only way I can get out of the chidrama is I eat it one by one. But really, if I make a pile, I'm chayev, right? So although the branch of a tree, when it extends into my yard, as long as it's extended in my yard, loses its classic halacha. Classic halacha is potter, extended into the yard, it's chayev. So to this guy, really it's his house, it's his chanos. He should be chayev in Trumas and Maestros, right? Extend him into the group though, so when he's extended into the group, and he's standing with the group, then they gave him halacha that he's potter. Okay? So again, it's a wild and woolly comparison here. It's a classic Yerushalmi comparison. That's why the Achronim go to town here. But that's what the comparison is being made. Okay? Says Gemara, Al Daiti to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan's logic, he's only exempt under three conditions. The Baal Bayis is only exempt under three conditions. A, Ochel Achasach is eating one by one. Just like they're exempt when they snack. He's exempt when he snacks one by one. He's eating in the area where everybody else is standing. And Meshayer means that he leaves some for them. In other words, he's eating together with them. What if he's sitting with them, but he takes all the figs for himself, right? So then he can no longer snack. It's only because right now he's completely extended part and parcel of this group that they gave him this aberrant halacha as if he's one of them, even though he's really not. Okay? Again, he has to be three conditions. He's eating one by one, and he's eating with them. In other words, in their chabura, and they're all partaking of it. In other words, he's leaving some for them to eat. Mm-hmm. Only if those three qualifications are met, only then did they give him the special dispensation that is considered part of parts of the group. Al daiti to Rabbi Lez, according to Rabbi Lez, though, says the parameter is a very different one, the parameter of embarrassment, right? Right, so eating in a public place is embarrassment. Afilo eino ochel achas achas. Even if he's eating a whole bunch, still not considered to be a kfiyas because he's in an embarrassing location. Afilo eino ochel b'shul hakol. Even if he's not eating in the area where they are, in other words, with the chabura, but rather he's just eating in a public location. Afilo shir. Even if he doesn't get them, even if he doesn't leave them any. In other words, the place of embarrassment. Now it could be he's talking a coarse person who doesn't get embarrassed. But this, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's pretty much an objective parameter. If you're in a public location, you're among the Sheshbesh players, even if you're not playing with them, even not eating with them, that's a public location. It's a Malkabusha. Even though it's in your store, you're still exempt. Right? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's only when you're mamish part and parcel of that group that they gave you an aberrant halacha as if you're a member of the group, despite the fact that you're really not. And therefore, that's being mamish part of the group. In other words, you're eating one by one like they are, and you're sitting with them, and you're leaving, partaking with them. Otherwise, it doesn't exempt you. You're not considered part of the parameters of exemption. Okay, very good, very interesting. Further, halacha base. Hamala Peres Migol Yehuda. Now, normally we say, when you're a merchant and you're taking fruit up to fruit to the marketplace, so the moment you decide to take the marketplace, it's chayim and trumas and maaser. It's midrabanan. Why? Because you might, we said earlier, Masechta, you might meet somebody along the way and sell to him right away on the spot. So you're not allowed to snack anymore. That's it. No snacking because it's already designated to be merchandise. But what if you're taking, you're in Yehuda, where oranges are 25 cents a bushel, and you're taking to, you're in Galil, where oranges are 25 cents a bushel, and you're going to Yehuda, where oranges are $1 a bushel, much more expensive, then you're not going to sell along the way. So it does become chayiv and trumas and maaser. You're still allowed to snack until you reach Yehuda, until you reach the next area where you're going to sell. Whereas in Washington, apples are a lot cheaper. Not chayiv and trumas and maaser until you reach Illinois. Okay? Amar Peres Migol Yehuda, or Yerushalayim, or he's going up to Yerushalayim, the same idea. Ochel, he can snack, Achimagil Mokum Sholech, until he gets to the place where he's going, the Chemechazor and Soto on the way back. Vice versa. If he's taking fruit and Yehuda, it's some for more expensive and Golim. Achoichli Mechazim Bayoros, the peddlers who are going from place to, from city to city, they can eat until they get to the place where they're going to spend the night. Rabbi says the first house you come in is considered to be your house, and you can no longer snack once you get there, and the Gemara is going to explain what he means. Itmar. Right? Going to the Gemara? You go straight to the Gemara? Do you have the word Itmar being in the Gemara? Do you have Itmar? Okay. Peir Shalokhan, right? Peir Shalokhan Shalot Tzorach HaShabbos. The fruit which was gathered for not for the purpose of Shabbos. You gather fruit not for the Shabbos. You will gather fruit for next week. The Kiddush Shalem, Kiddush Shalem Shabbos. Now Shabbos commences. Rabbi Yochanan Meir Shabbos Tovelis. That's it. No snacking. Even the fruit was not intended for Shabbos. No snacking anymore on this fruit. Shabbos Tovelis. Shabbos only impedes snacking when it's fruit for this Shabbos. Not fruit for next week. Didn't we learn? So he takes fruit from Golil to Yehuda. Olu Yerushalayim goes up to Yerushalayim, top of Testament base. You can keep snacking until you get to Yerushalayim. And so on the way back. And we learned something that concerning this in a brisa. Vafilu lon. Even if you, do you have vafilu? Even if you stayed overnight somewhere, vafilu shabbos. Even if you stayed over Shabbos somewhere. So what do we see here clearly? We see here clearly that Shabbos is not koveya, because you get to keep snacking after Shabbos. It takes you 2 weeks to get to Yerushalayim, right? The next week you're still, this fruit is still exempt. Shabbos wasn't koveya. You can still snack. Amar lo, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Begoitza lishvos." This, when it says in the Brisa, "Afilu Shabbos," it doesn't mean that Shabbos passed over you. Once Shabbos passed over, there's no more snacking. That's it. This story about when on Monday, even on Monday, you came somewhere and said, "I'm going to spend Shabbos here." So then, the fact you decide on Monday to spend Shabbos there doesn't make you kavur for Shabbos. It's only Shabbos itself. That's what the Brisa means. Okay, and he brings a raya for that. Teid el choshukei. You should know that I'm right. The tiny law we learned concerning this case. Vafilu Shabbos b'sheni. Even if you spent made Shabbos on Monday, Is there any Shabbos on Monday? What it means is somebody who decides on Monday that he's going to spend Shabbos in that location. Here too, it says here that it's not considered to be that you continue eating and you don't have to take Shabbos and Maizis. It's only because you just decided to spend Shabbos there, but Shabbos hadn't actually come. But if Shabbos actually come, that's it. That's finished. You can no longer eat without snack, without taking trumas and maizes. Hakom moedim belina shena tavelas. Everybody agrees, though, if you find a place to spend overnight, you know, you come to your Red Roof Inn, spend it overnight there, so you can still snack the next day. It's only Shabbos. My belina, my b'shvisa. What's the difference between staying overnight or making Shabbos? Other megalga belina. A person's willing to megalgal here means to tolerate. Person willing to tolerate staying overnight somewhere without having luxuries and proper food. So therefore, he can still consider all his food which he has with him snack stuff, right? However, ain't adam megalga b'shvisa. You don't make Shabbos on candy bars unless you're in an airport. So therefore, since a person is not megalga b'shvisa, the person doesn't tolerate spending a Shabbos without luxuries. So therefore, on Shabbos, all of his food which he has with him already becomes kavua. It's no longer regarded as snack substance, but rather as true foodstuff, and therefore he can no longer snack with it anymore. Okay. Similarly, b'chomakom, although this is not directly linked to our issue, b'chomakom adam lot. Person who spends Shabbos, chveis, you know, in the middle of a motel in the middle of nowhere, right? A person doesn't spend Shabbos except where there's a established Jewish community. Okay, that's just editorializing, but you get the point. For Tanya, ask the Gemara. You don't have a Tanya, do you? Well, yeah, but it's a kasha. Maisa Rabbi Yeshua Shem Halachach Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. So Maisa Rabbi Yeshua, he was following. Do you have the? You lost the place. Do you have it? Maisa Rabbi Yeshua Shem Halachach Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai the Baruchayil. So Maisa with Rabbi Yeshua, which he followed Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, he was tagging along with it to Baruchayil. For you Bnei Yosef not yours, Mivin Lem Perus, and people in those towns brought them fruit to eat. Amru Lo. So they asked. Manu Lasser. You don't have that, do you? Okay, so yeah, but the question he just brings out that they asked, we have to miser it. Varmal and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to him, now you have it, right? Rabbi Yeshua said to him, Im lanu kan, anu chayovim Lasser. Depends. If we spend overnight here, then we have to miser. If we don't spend overnight here, we don't have to miser. So the kashas we see even overnight. Even Lino, even overnight stay requires you to miser. So what's with this Rabbi Yeshua thing? So Rabbi Zir, Rabbi Yeshua, Daito Nikia. Rabbi Yeshua, Daito Nikia is an interesting language. There are all sorts of interpretations in this phrase here. The way he brings down from the Marav Fulda, it means that it didn't bother him to sleep on the road. A motel by him was like his house. I guess maybe he slept in suites, so I don't know. But a motel by him was like his house. So therefore, for him, wherever he spent the night was like a kfius, just as if he was home. Other people, when they're in a motel, they don't feel comfortable. So it's not going to be a kfius, and they can still snack. But for him, wherever he would stay, he didn't have any problems. Like what the Yerushalmi says, the Bible says, Daito Yofa. A person who's not sensitive, Lashon Sagi Nor, he's called in a euphemism, Daito Yofa, right? He's not sensitive, overly, you know, fussy. Right, so he wasn't so fussy. So for him, every day was like a house. Amalei Rabbi Mana. So Rabbi Mana said, "B'chol Mashatiye." So what? Everybody else literally Shati means everybody else is an idiot. But what it means here in this context is, so everybody else, when they come to a motel, they talk, are imbalanced. There aren't some nice motels. You know, it depends what style motel. It depends if you stay in Motel 6 or if you stay in whatever Holiday Inn, right? But Holiday Inn, that's fine, right? So everybody should be chayv in Trumas and Maisis if they stay in Holiday Inn overnight, right? So says the Gemara, no. Elo Rabbi Yeshua de Levayis say Shchichole. Rabbi Yeshua, he had people used to accompany him all the time and try and join on with him, and they used to make him feel really good. And they used to do sorts of also nice things for him. So by him, do Amar Alina Toveles. By him, to stay overnight somewhere, since he had so many people who wanted to do good stuff for him, by him staying overnight made sure that he can no longer snack. Because Mamish main olam abba by him. Shai b'nei amma. Other people delay slavayos and shchicha. People don't always accompany them and help them out when they come somewhere. So ain't lino tovelis. By them staying overnight doesn't make a kavur for trumas and meisers. Ask the Gemara Vatzin, and I have a kasha from our Mishnah. From Mishnah says, Mr. Zugri, still have the place. Rochle mechazim bayoros. It says peddlers who go from city to city, Oakland, Sharm, Achim, Gilam, Okolina, they can snack until they get to a place where they're going to stay overnight. So it says even if they stay overnight, sounds like even a Motel 6, they certainly don't have people who come and help them out, right? So how come they, when they stay overnight somewhere, have to meister? Says Lina Beso. It's interesting. They had the peddlers had specific places where they stayed. So this says specific places where they stayed. It wasn't just a motel room. There were specific peddlers' inns, or they had rented rooms. So therefore, at truck stops, right? So therefore, for them, that was a kfius bias. Okay. Rabbi Shim ben Lakish b'shem Rabbi Yosha said a similar idea, although it's very not clear exactly what the Gemara means by this. But kagon ilan the kfar Chananya, it's like the people in kfar Chananya, the inu nafkin v'sachu in arba chamesh kiryan, they would do 4 or 5 areas in the vicinity. 4 or 5 cities in the vicinity. Va'ilan damchim v'tein, and they would go and sleep in their houses. Now, in their houses means in their house and location. In other words, they had, in every 4 or 5 cities, they had one specific house which they would come back to each night when they were in that vicinity. So this is more than stam a motel room. This is like a semi, you know, a semi-fixed area. So therefore, this is considered kfius once they came to this place at night. Since this is quasi-house, so then they would have be kavua. It's interesting. I'm going to say it would apply bisman as if you had a motorhome. If you had a motorhome in Eretz Yisrael and went from place to place, so every night when you set up your motorhome, that would be a kfius, because that by you is a house. So you mainly wouldn't be allowed to snack anymore at that point on it. Okay? Let's just go to the Mishnah. Rabbi Ramer Bechule, you don't have that header, do you? Do we have Tanya Rabbi Chalafta, right? So Rabbi Chalafta said, the first house you reach is Mechaibim and Trumas and Maisers. Why is that? So says the Gemara, Tanya Rav Chalata Ben Shol, he said, he learns into this, how he learns to Rabbi Yudah. We don't pass the Rabbi Yudah, but he says, wrote to Adam Falech Asokov. A person wants to split up his dealings and wants to leave stuff in various different houses so it'll be easier for him to come pick up his merchandise next time around. So Bais Rishon Shupogev Lolun Shom. So he puts some of his stuff in the first house where he comes to, and it's as if he's going to sleep there that night, even though he's not necessarily going to sleep there. So therefore, once he leaves his fruit there, it's considered to be his Mokom Lina, and therefore he's Chayev, he's not Kavur for Trumas and Maisers, he's not going to be snacking anymore, because that he's already going to set down like a base camp there for next time around, and therefore it's Kavur for Trumas and Maisers. We'll stop here.